Hey, how's it going? This is Tyler Murphy. This is the Montana Gallery Podcast, and it is Monday. It's like 9:15. I'm not sure of the date. Hold on. What's the date? Monday, August 20th. And like I say, I'm trying to get in the habit of doing a podcast at least once a week around here. And so, let's see. Lately, I've been working towards getting ready for this Yellowstone show at the gallery, and I myself am trying to get as many paintings done for that as possible. Kind of my reason for, like, with the Sojourner show, the Daniel's paintings and Richie's paintings all sold really well, and so it kind of feels like the gallery's kind of got this momentum going on and going for it. And so I'm like, gosh, I should get a whole bunch of my own work done for this show and really see if I can sell a bunch of my own work and kind of get caught up on some things. Because see, I think I might have mentioned in the last podcast, like, I'd really like to get a new car, and then eventually I would love to get LASIK eye surgery. So those are just some things that I'm kind of working towards. I'm okay if I might, like, I'm thinking through, do I really want those things? Actually, I think I've written down a few things for this podcast. Actually, I might have addressed, I wrote it a couple nights ago, and I might have addressed the idea about trying to buy a car. We'll get to that in a minute. We've had a handful of really beautiful, kind emails come in especially since the last podcast, and messages through social media. And I just want to say thank you so much to everyone that's written kind these emails. They've been really encouraging, and I'm glad that everybody's enjoying this podcast. And I hope that it can just continue to that we can just continue to explore, you know, different topics, and I think especially continue to explore how do we as creative people kind of overcome a lot of the resistance that we each face. How do we kind of overcome the voices in our heads that are kind of judging us and getting us to believe that we're not good enough just as we are. And so that's kind of at least what I'm interested in talking about for right now. So let me see if what I wrote down the other day makes any sense to share with you guys here. Okay, so it's kind of just continuing on this idea of the lack, and that there is this separation and this distance between who I am and who I wish I was. And learning to reconcile those two, I think, truly is really helpful for any creative person, and maybe actually essential for anyone who's just trying to, really anyone that's alive. This, like, being able to reconcile these two things, who we are and who we wish we were, is, I think, pretty essential for living life in a healthy way. So, like, and as an artist, if you can get this stuff figured out as an artist, if you can reconcile these things, then you don't have to be the one that stands next to your painting, pointing out all the flaws in it to every passerby that most likely was only ever going to say kind things about the work, right? Like, that's a really common tendency amongst us creatives, this kind of desire or this feeling, this tendency, I guess, to self-deprecate. And so I'm trying to think through, like, why is that? Why do we feel like, why do I feel that with my own work, that need to criticize it? You know, because really when someone walks by our work and we bombard them with every little mistake in color and value and this is wrong and this is wrong, and you know, you start teaching them about perspective and how you've got your lines all crooked and everything, and then, you know, at some point, like, one kind of has to wonder, well, if you knew all these things were wrong, why didn't you fix it before hanging it on the wall? And like, as I was writing this the other night, I was just sort of following this stream of consciousness, and then I kind of got to that point that question arose in my, you know, consciousness of, if I knew the problems in my own things, in my own art that I'm putting out in the world, and I'm quick to point them out, why am I, you know, why didn't I take the time to fix them? And so I said, yeah, that's a big question. That's a question that only each of us can answer individually. That's following the white rabbit, you know, like the white rabbit in, well, I think it's the white rabbit in the Matrix. I think that's what Neo follows, and then he ends up falling out of the Matrix, you know, and following Trinity down into whatever, I don't know, down into Zion, I don't think they get to Zion in the first one. Anyways, yeah, that's like asking these kinds of questions it's like starting to look at the places that we don't really want to look at. It's like the person saying that they've been trying to write a kid's book for 10 years, and, you know, they just keep on hitting roadblock after roadblock after roadblock, and, you know, they go to writing conferences, and they join writing classes, and those kinds of things I do think do help some people sometimes, but I think there's another question that needs to be considered. And in a sense, it's not like we should be asked. I think we need to set aside questions like, what are the five tips and things that, five simple things that will make my life better? You know, kind of, can we set aside the sort of the self-help stuff for a while? And maybe the question for someone like that says they've been trying to write a kid's book for 10 years, maybe the better question is that they would ask, why don't I want to write this book? Of course, you know, that person who's trying to write that kid's book for 10 years, of course, they're the only ones that can answer that. And it's going to be completely relative to their life. But I think, like, once we can sit with questions in that way and start to unpack why we have maybe, you know, why in a sense, like, I don't want to do some of the things that I say that I want to do, I think that's when we can maybe start to move forward. So let me see what I wrote here. The question for someone like that is, why don't I want to write this book? And only they can answer that. But once they do, maybe they'll be able to write the book. Yeah, okay, so this was the point I was wanting to get to. Maybe they will then be able to write that book. Or maybe they'll be able to realize that they never really did care about writing the book. And then, you know, they'll be able to move on with their lives. And I think the same is true for a lot of us painters, that there's a lot of us who, and I mean, I fall into this myself for, you know, quite a few of the past years, I've kind of let my paintings sit on the back burner. But I think a lot of times we keep telling everybody, like, oh yes, I want to paint. And we've been saying that maybe for year after year after year after year. And it might be that there's something actually about it that is so hard to look at. Like, you're not going to believe me when I say this, but that there is something in you that actually you kind of don't want that for yourself. So that's why you have to ask that question, why don't I want to do this full time? Because then you can really start to uncover some things that you're not wanting to look at again, like I've been saying. So what else did I say here? The same is true for a lot of things in my own life. Like, I keep telling people that I want to buy a new car. Okay, yeah. So I think I mentioned that at the beginning. Well, I've been saying that for over 2 years now. And, you know, after 2 years of saying I want to buy a new car, the question that I probably need to ask myself is, why don't I want to buy a new car? And I'm trying to kind of work through that, and I'm not going to share, you know, the things, I'm not going to share my answers to those questions on here, but partially because I haven't totally uncovered them, but that's probably the main thing. But the same can be true of things as simple, oh yeah, this is pretty interesting. The same can be true of things as simple as avoiding a certain friend, maybe even a close friend. We say we want to hang out with them, and yet every time they text, we're slow to text back, or we're always late for meeting them. And the question is, why is that? You know, within my own, well, here's, I'm going to try to just keep myself out of this, but here's what I wrote. Like, it might be that you're experiencing conflictual desires and you don't know how to reconcile these two desires. Like, on one hand, you might really want to hang out with them, and on the other hand, you really want to get work done. I guess I'm not keeping myself out of this. This is like the kind of stuff that I'm constantly wrestling with in my own head. Of, I have friends that come over to the gallery and I love them so much, but at the same time, I also have to get work done. And so I, like, if I'm not aware of the conflicting desires in my own head, like, my tendency without, my tendency has just been to, I start fading out of paying attention to the conversation. And so I just kind of sort of slowly drift away from people. From friends in conversation, and I don't like that. Like, every one of my friends has kind of called me out on that, and I think it's mostly because I'm not good at being able to say, hey, I'd love to talk, I've got 15 minutes, let's catch up, and then, you know, I've got this other stuff I've got to get to. That's what I'm learning, that it's totally okay to say that, and but I would have never, I don't think I would have had that realization had I not been learning about this idea that we're full of conflictual desires. And like, the one in that scenario is, yes, I want to hang out, but I have this work that I want to get done. I just keep on, I'm kind of repeating this stuff over and over and over again, because I might be able to articulate it in a more concise way, or, you know, maybe one of these times it'll start to, maybe you'll catch something in one of the ways that I say it. So again, it goes back to defense mechanisms, that we might be covering over something that's too hard for us to look at. We know that there is a disconnect between the work we're currently capable of making and the work that we wish we could make. And typically, you know, we're looking at someone else's work saying, oh man, I wish I could paint like them. okay. Yeah. I think I just left. So the other night I wrote this stuff out, and then I think I just left it there, thinking that I'd probably be able to wrap up off of that last line. Typically we're looking at someone else's work saying, oh man, I wish I was able to paint like them. I know that I had more thoughts on this idea, but I, right now, I can't. Nothing's coming to mind, so I'm just going to keep on moving on. So I threw in here, some of the just two of the emails that were sent in that I thought were really nice. I read one of them pretty closely. If I do kind of start sharing these emails on here, I think I'm going to try to not read them beforehand so that I'm kind of responding to them in the moment. So I think that's what I'll do in the future. But this one is mostly just a lot of really kind words about the podcast. So I'll kind of move through this one probably pretty quickly and just say thank you for writing it. And then I think the next one maybe has a few points that we can maybe dive into different directions on. So with this one, she says, your podcast just keeps getting better and better. Thank you so much. A couple of weeks ago, listening to one of your podcasts, interviewing your friends, I thought, you're doing something that is so important right now. Your podcast is grounded. Although your group is young, your conversations are grounded, solid. Very interesting topics, discussions, even just frank honesty about the ins and outs of gallery ownership and being an artist. I honestly think I see something happening there. And have thought that ever since I first saw your gallery. Again, thank you. Like a big cottonwood that we see in our western area here, out in a pasture, strong and branching out. It may be in the middle of a pasture from a homestead long ago, but rarely do we drive by it without noticing it. It has a presence. It's grounded and it's solid. That's so beautiful, and I just really appreciate that. She keeps on going, but I just want to say, like, gosh, that's such a beautiful picture, and I feel like maybe the gallery is starting to rise up to that description. And I'm going to just try to do my best to just step into that truth, I guess. So thank you. I'm not sure how to put it into words, but I want to thank you for doing it just the way you're doing it. I listened to a couple of your podcasts while I was raking hay this summer. That's when I started to think about how many podcasts are there available that are anything like this. I came up with zero. Very unique. Very good. I just listened to your latest while in the studio. Wow. Very good. When you mentioned the doubt from the Bible, it really made me think. Perhaps it's just the opposite. Perhaps the doubts that you have, the struggles you feel, are actually strengths coming through to people you are talking to. Perhaps all wrapped up in honesty, this is the gift you are giving, equals it's real and it's grounded. There must be a sense that comes through in your podcast. There must be a sense that comes through in your podcast. They are all very interesting and easy to listen to. And I've listened to a lot of podcasts on art. So keep up the great work. It amazes me. It's amazing to me. The growth and talent you have brought to your gallery and the talent you have yourself. I love your work for several reasons. You have a great style, but also the ranching scenes you portray are again, real and grounded. I see very few ranching paintings that hit me that have that grit, and yours do. Man, I don't know. Yeah, thank you so much. As Daniel said, has said regarding, I think he's got this story where I think Lori Woodward came up to him and was just giving him lots and lots of compliments, and he, I think he started to try to, I don't know, pass him off, or I'm not sure how he was responding, but she just interrupted him and said, Daniel, the proper response is thank you. So thank you so much. I just wanted to go back to this part where you said, When you mentioned the doubt from the Bible, it really made me think. Perhaps it's just the opposite. Perhaps the doubts you have, the struggles you feel, are actually strengths coming through to people you are talking to. Yeah, I guess I do feel like there is some strength in being vulnerable, being honest, being open, and kind of being the first to be able to admit, like, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about. I kind of think that it's this way, but I might not know what I'm talking about at all. Today I was writing something for an article, and I'll just share what I wrote. Like, they asked me to share my thoughts on the art market, and I'm stealing this from somewhere else, but I said, so they were asking stuff about what do I find collectors are looking for, and you know, what's working for the gallery, and so I just said, let me preface my response by saying that answering questions like these can be like the man who falls off a cliff, hitting every branch and every rock in such a way that he miraculously survives the fall, and then goes on to write and lecture about how to survive falling off cliffs. Finding success in the art world takes many things: courage, persistence, dedication, experimentation, and definitely some degree of luck. Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is a lot of this stuff, I'm it's like throwing spaghetti against the wall. So how could I come at something with, you know, like this absolutist authority of like, no, this is the way it is, this is the right way to think. Again, with the lack thing, like the serpent in the biblical story, the thing that it is trying to convince Eve of is the idea that she lacks the knowledge of good and evil, so that she's lacking some knowledge, which would mean that she's lacking certainty. And so I guess with a lot of stuff now, I'm starting to think about, no, I want to be able to say that I'm okay with uncertainty. I'm okay with doubt and unknowing. Because again, to kind of go back to the idea of that we have conflicting voices within our heads, it can be really hard to say what it is that we believe. Because one voice kind of says, well, I kind of think it's this way. And then another voice, you know, says, well, no, I kind of think it's this other way. And so, it, you know, there's just a wrestling match that's happening. And actually, that is the name that God gave to Israel. I mean, that's what Israel means, is one who wrestles with God. And I think that's what it's talking about, is that's what that name is referring to, is one who doesn't have certainty and isn't sure exactly where they stand on things, because they're just, because it's really hard to, and you're constantly trying to understand the world and the way it is and how we fit within it. So yeah, I do think that there's some strength in being able to embrace doubt and complexity and uncertainty. And then she also included, I didn't see this, this is in the postscript, I thought I would include this. An older Western artist posted a book by Dr. Carolyn Leaf, a neuroscientist, yesterday on Instagram, and said he wished he had it when he was younger. So I downloaded one of her books, which is also very uncommon for me to do without research, but I respect this guy and took his word. So I've just started reading it and thought I'd share the link. And if that sounds interesting to any of you guys, it's drleaf.com/blog/stress-is-good-for-you. I will check that out. Maybe let me know. Maybe let me know what you think about it. Okay, so on to this next email. It says, "Hi Tyler, there's lots of responsibility in what you do, and it's no wonder that there are times when there's a lot on your shoulders, especially because you are still kind of new in this business and not used to this kind of added tension, responsibility, pressure, and demands. So your mental state turns on the alarm for you because it's just too much." Yeah, that's pretty pretty accurate. I think the best way to deal with stress is to know its cause, and control it. How did it start? How did I get here? Are good questions that you've asked yourself. Now that you know what circumstances are highly stressful and you know it's part of the job, so you can't escape it, you need to figure out ways to control these stressful times to make them more bearable. What could help you relieve stress? What's wrong? What could help you? Okay, sorry, I'm not very good at reading out loud. What could help you relieve stress? What's wrong with painting? Any activity is legitimate for coping with anxiety. It could be swimming, painting, sex, any activity that is not unhealthy or destructive, like turning to alcohol, drugs, etc. Okay, so I'm going to jump in here and say, I don't think that alcohol necessarily is totally destructive. I think what I was saying in the last podcast is that alcohol can become, it can become a solution to a problem, just as painting can become a solution to a problem. It can become this thing that kind of helps us cover over something that we don't want to look at. Like I have friends, and this is probably true of myself, who became artists because it was kind of their way of coping with certain things, of coping with the fact that they didn't quite fit in with other kids around them. And so at a young age, they became, you know, they got some positive feedback about painting. Again, though, we can turn to painting as a way of maybe not wanting to deal with certain other things, like that maybe we don't fit in socially with other people our age. And that's totally fine. I'm just saying that if that is something that you wish that you were better at, you might have to kind of look at and go, maybe I'm using painting or maybe I'm using alcohol as a way of avoiding looking at this deeper anxiety. So that's all. What I'm learning is that really anything can be turned into a coping mechanism. And that's like, that's not a bad thing. And I think that we can use, we can turn things that we developed. We can turn, like, say I became a good painter because I was insecure. Like that's totally fine, but it shouldn't be insecurity that drives the painting. I think we can kind of learn to step up into, no, I'm being called to paint. And I think most people do get there anyways with their work, that it's not, they're not doing it because it helps them feel okay with the world. They're doing it because they genuinely feel like this calling of like, oh man, I'm so inspired by this, by the beauty that I see in the world, that what can I do but paint? And I think that's the place that we all should get to, that we all hopefully can get to. I shouldn't have said should. I just should, you know, it's like you don't have to get there, but I think that that's a preferable place. Also, ask yourself, do I keep things in proper perspective? Do I allow pessimistic thoughts to take hold? Can I make any changes in my life that will improve my mental health? About your saying, let there be lack, I think it's your solution, a way of thinking that you've discovered helping you cope right now with it all. Yeah, that's probably true. I think sharing your story with others also helps dealing with the anxiety and maybe creates a safety net for you. Yeah, absolutely. Like, there's something that I'm probably covering over here. But again, I guess I would go back to, I also kind of feel called to do this. So I'm going to lean into that a lot more here. It's also, just to be frank, this is also a marketing thing. It's, you know, how can I pull back the curtain on what's happening around the gallery? People, you know, listen to it, get to know me a little bit, and then maybe one day end up wanting to buy a painting of mine. I think that's a big part of the way that I think about marketing is just continuing to create experience after experience after experience and like inviting people into that so that if they ever do have a painting of mine, when they see it on their wall, it's not just that painting. It's kind of everything else that's wrapped up into that. I heard a really cool, my friend Clay came home. He lives out on the East Coast, and he came home a couple months ago, I guess. And he was telling me how he had just gone to Monticello, and he was going through, you know, Thomas Jefferson's house there. And he was saying that in every room that Jefferson had different paintings, or maybe it's a sculpture, and the pieces of art were somehow tied into some sort of a philosophical or political idea or ideology movement, and that like he would always have the guest seat kind of pointed towards this piece of artwork so that the guest would like just have to take notice of it, and that was his way of starting into this conversation about and helping to lead like maybe his political rivals into this is why I believe what I believe, this is and giving them more of a context for how he came to hold his beliefs. So again, I'm trying to with all of this stuff, with the videos, with the podcast, with the events at the gallery, I'm trying to add to that story that if somebody has something of mine or something from any of the other artists in the gallery, and I think all of the artists that I represent kind of work this way, that it's about more than just that one painting. So like if somebody gets one of Daniel's paintings, they're not just getting that one painting. Most people have followed Daniel's work for years and years and years. They've read lots of different articles on him. And so when they finally get that piece, it's got all of that wrapped up into it. And so how do you make that happen? You just kind of have to start. You just have to start diving in and just jump off the cliff, I guess. And keep on asking these questions of, you know, how do I show up in a way that I think people will enjoy, in a way that is maybe useful to people? That's the kinds of questions that I'm trying to always ask myself. So anyways, hopefully this podcast is fulfilling that a little bit. Let's see, how are we on time here? This is okay. Yeah, that's good enough. Let's end it right there. Again, I've got a whole bunch of work I need to get. I'm wanting to get done before this Thursday. We have my friend Grant Jones and Parker Brown and Phil Griffin are backing him up, and they're going to play a set in the gallery. The gallery, you guys, is the best one of, maybe art house. I don't know. Art House and Montana Gallery. They're right up there for the two best concert venues in Billings, I'd say, for intimate concerts anyways. In my, not that anybody else that would ever refute that is going to listen to this, but they're just special. So I'm so excited for that. If you ever happen to be in Billings, you're listening to this and you ever happen to be in Billings, check to see if we have any concerts or events going on. Last week I talked a lot about Story Night. That's an awesome event. And I'm really proud of Story Night and concerts. And then the other thing I'm kind of proud of is that like the gallery half the time is like a daycare on the weekends anyways. There's always like so many kids running around in there. It's crazy. Sometimes I'm about to blow a gasket, but I kind of love it too. So, all right, you guys, I will check in with you next week. Thanks for listening.